Psalm 112. I have on my heart for, well, some time now. Of course, we have been talking about faith, talking about expectations, believing God for great things, wonderful things, mighty things. And my faith is really high. My confidence in what God is doing and what he's getting ready to do is really high. Amen. I really believe that God has some mighty things in store for his people. Amen. And I want to see it happen. I want to see it happen in my life, in my age bracket, all of us that are, you know, a little bit older. I want to see it happen to those that are in their, you know, 30s and 40s and 20s. And I want to see the teens. I want to see the young people just get a hold of something from God. And we're going to talk about this morning. A faith that will last, an enduring faith, an experience with God that will last. Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. Praise God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That the righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. That those who live their lives for God and serve God with their whole heart, that their legacy will continue even after they have passed away from this earth. They have made an impact upon the lives of people, and their legacy of righteousness can go on and on and on. What a blessing that is, especially in a world like you and I live in today. Actually, our world is a temporary world. We know that this earth is a temporary existence. Everything that's on this planet is going to be dissolved. It's all going to be burnt up. It's all temporary. Everything in this world is temporary. We're reminded of how temporary things are by the possessions that we have. Everything you buy, it's new, and you're proud of it, and you're grateful you've got it, and then it doesn't take very long, and it becomes old and worn out and thrown away and or taken to the Goodwill or whatever you do with it. I mean, 5 years ago, last month, we bought the car that we have right now, and it had 19,000 miles on it. It was a program car, and we were thankful for it. Do you know that it's 5 years later now? Now it's got 138,000 miles on it. We're putting about almost 24,000 miles a year on it. It's wearing out quick. It looks pretty good, but it's starting to wear out. And I'm so thankful that I let Brother Herman talk me into buying Michelin tires, because I was going to buy some new tires. And he said, don't buy those other ones. You'll buy two or three sets in the time that you'll just go ahead and spend the money. And it was hard. I mean, they were expensive. But I went ahead and did it, and he was right. They're still going. And they're going to have to go for a lot longer. But this world is passing away. It's passing away. And before long, your new beautiful car is going to be crushed up and melted and made into something else. It's just temporary. And that's pretty much the way it is with everything that is in this world. The nature of our world is it's declining. It's constantly in decay. Now, you can have a brand new home and walk away from it and not do anything, not go back in the door for 10 years, and you're going to go into a house that's in shambles. because it requires continual update, fighting back the decay, fighting back the the wear and the tear and the destruction, because that's the nature of everything that's in this world. It's all passing away. All of it is. But he says from this text, there's a wonderful promise that's given to the person who obeys the Lord. It says, blessed is the man that fears God and delights greatly in his commandments. He fears the Lord and he delights in his commandments. Those two things are the qualifications for making an impact upon a succeeding generation. That's what it says. That this man, it says, his seed or his kids, his children or his children's children shall be mighty upon the earth. It just means that they'll be great, they'll be influential, they'll make it in, because you have impacted their life, that they then will be able to impact their generation as well. Amen. So there are not very many things that last a long time. That word everlasting is mentioned there in the text. And that's a good Bible word. It's in a lot of places in the scripture, Old and New Testament. It's in the scripture almost 100 times. Most of the time it refers to everlasting life, but it also refers to an everlasting covenant, an everlasting kingdom, an everlasting gospel, an everlasting commandment, and others, other things in the scripture that are everlasting, that are going to always last, that are always going to continue. As I've said, the world that we live in is temporary and it is passing away. I'm so grateful that when I was a young person that I heard the gospel, it made an impact upon my life. And I was blessed to know the Lord, blessed to receive the Pentecostal experience, and to be exposed to the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And all of those things touched me, impacted my life. And those are things that I want to pass on to the next generation. I am concerned about kids that are growing up today. I am concerned about our youth and our young people and our young adults. I'm concerned about them because this is a generation that is greatly being impacted by our world and the culture of this age. It's like we're being blasted from every side, the philosophy and the thinking of this world. And if you're not careful, you'll start thinking like the world too. You'll start believing all the lies and the philosophy of this world. I believe that we've got something that will endure forever. We've got a hold of something that's going to go beyond this grave and beyond this life. Thank God for a good wife. Amen. Glory to God. Where was I? I believe we have a mandate from God to do something about the succeeding generation. I said we went to camp. They've gone to camp this past week. They're at camp this week. We have a kids' crusade plan. We have all these things because we want to impact that generation. And that'll be wonderful, and it will change their life. It will affect their life, and I know that it will. So it's worth the money. It's worth the investment. Whatever we can do to expose them to spiritual things, that's exactly what we want to do. We don't want to fail to pass on from this generation to the next generation the things that are eternal and really valuable. Just think about the things that consume your life and consume your time. Just think about all of these things that are going on around you and going on in your world right now. And just ask yourself the question, are these things going to matter in 10 years? Are they going to matter in 30 years or 50 years? Certainly, are they going to matter in eternity? And we are so consumed with these things. I was just noticing just sometime lately that when people are searching and looking for a home to buy, that they pinpoint all the things that they think are important to them. One of the major things is that they want to make sure there's never a mention of the fact that they're, this house is close to my my church. It's always, well, it's close to shopping, or it's close to my favorite coffee shop, or it's close to my gym, or it's close to this and that. All of these things that really have very little value. I'm not saying they don't have any value. But in far as time and eternity and spiritual things are concerned, they don't really matter that much. Amen. Stay with me now. It's the truth. It's the truth. But yet we invest all of our life, and we have a world that's building their life around things that are all passing away. They're all passing away. That's a very big mistake. Psalm 78, verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. What is the psalmist saying? He's saying, you've learned the law of God. You've learned the truths of God's word. You've learned these eternal truths, and they should be transferred to the next generation. And even to the little babies when they're born, it should be transferred to the youngest of the children. It should be planted in their hearts. Why? So that they'll set their hope in God, not in all these things of this world. So that they'll set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. Amen. Nothing more important than instilling spiritual principles and truths into the hearts of our children. Amen. So he says here that for the man that fears the Lord and loves his commandments, he will have an effect. It says his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Amen. There'll be something about them. There'll be virtues about them, distinguishing virtues about these children and youth, that their influence will have an effect. It will be successful and be able to have an impact upon our world. Amen. God gives to them this wonderful promise that if you fear the Lord, if you love his commandments, and you instill them in the hearts of your children, that that will have an impact. They will be successful. Now, I know that success is a big word today that people are using, and everybody's interested in success, and usually it's measured by other things other than spiritual values. Usually you're successful if you're making a lot of money. You're successful if you look good. You're successful if you have a lot of nice things, if you have a lot of nice possessions. And the world has their standard that they measure success by. And most parents would say, well, I just want my kids to have a good life. I want them to be happy and to have a good life. But there's no place in the scripture where it says that we are to teach our children how to live a happy life. But all through the scripture, we are told again and again and again how we are to train them and to teach them and to raise them up in the fear of the admonition of the Lord. The commandment of the Lord is not happiness, but holiness. We're commanded to be holy. Be ye holy, not be ye happy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So it's a false assumption that we're making that happiness, as far as the world standard is concerned, is the goal that we have. We just want our children to be happy. Is that true? No, we teach them that joy and contentment and even happiness comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. It comes as the byproduct of serving God and living according to his will and his word. That happiness is not the goal. It's just a byproduct that comes to those who serve God faithfully. Amen. Praise God. So instead of happiness, we should teach our children that the ultimate goal is to please God. Pleasing God. Live your life to please the Lord and to see him. And parents, we are in the best position to launch our kids in the right way. As a matter of fact, the psalmist talks about our children being the heritage of the Lord, and they're like arrows that are in our hands, or in our quiver. And the arrows are usually launched toward a particular target. So you have, you know, the parents are the ones who are the closest to their kids. You observe them. You see them. You are the ones that can see their natural God-given gifts and abilities. And you encourage them in that way. You point them in that direction. You launch them in a way toward pleasing God. Amen. Why is it so quiet in here this morning? That's success from a Christian perspective, not from the world's perspective. Amen. That we should live our life Christ-centered and Bible-focused, or anchored in the truths of God's word. That's what will give to them hope. Now, there's a scripture, and of course, you know, most of you know, we have a son that's wayward, away from God. And so a lot of times over the years, he's been away from God for a long time, more than 10 years. When I would hear or read the verse of scripture that says, train up in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This big cloud of condemnation would fall in over me. And the devil would say, you are a very big failure. You have failed. You have failed. Train up a child. I've read that verse many, many times. I've meditated on that verse of scripture a lot of times, studied it, and even have renewed that just in recent days. He will not depart. It's interesting. The Hebrew word there for depart is the word sur, Hebrew word sur, which means to turn off or to turn away. When I read that and saw the meaning of that word, it really gave me a whole new perspective on this. I'm not saying that parents don't bear responsibility. We certainly do. Yes, we do. But it says train them up in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn away or turn it off. He will not be able to turn away from it. There's this idea here in this text that there have been truths and principles that have been implanted in their heart and in their mind and their spirit. And wherever they go, it goes with them. And whatever they experience, or even as far as they go away from God, in the depths of sin, it goes with them. It's like they can't turn it off. They can't turn away from it. It's always going to be there because you've instilled certain principles, certain truths into their hearts, and they can't get away from it. Praise God that God's pursuing them all the days of their life, because mom or dad, don't live under the condemnation like you have failed, but instead pray for them, that their heart and their mind will be open to the truth that they already have instilled in their hearts. Amen. Glory be to God. Praise God for the wonderful fact that God can give to us the courage to help our children to endure, to get a hold of something that won't pass away, something that is everlasting, something that will endure no matter what we experience. Amen. That reminds me of the verse in Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. God saying, it will get the job done, God says. It will accomplish what I sent it to accomplish, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Amen. Glory to God. So all the spiritual investments that you've made into your children, who may be now adults, who may be, some of them may not be serving the Lord today, and it's something that grieves you and worries you, and you pray about it. But just be encouraged this morning to know that you've instilled some living truths in their life that will never pass away and will pursue them all the days of their life. Obviously, when young people get to a certain age, they begin to make the decisions for their own life and what they want to do and how they want to live. Hopefully they will take many of those spiritual truths and they will build their own set of convictions out of the truths of God's word that you have instilled into their hearts. But we have a generation that's coming on now that's facing a culture that is so anti-God, that is so anti-Bible, that rejects and makes a mockery of the things of God and is constantly pulling and tugging at the hearts and the desires of young people these days. Parents, we cannot afford to not be completely committed to the spiritual success of our families for the rest of their lives. Amen. When they're 20 and they're 30 and they're 50 and whatever, as long as you live, that you are committed to the spiritual success of their lives, that they will hear the voice of God and follow in the ways of the Lord. So you're going to have to be intentional. You're going to have to be on purpose about the things that you do. You're going to have to expose them, especially in their formative years. Expose them to the things of God. Expose them like we're trying to do at camps this week and last week and all of these things that we're doing. We're wanting to expose them to the things of God. Now, some people think, well, you're just kind of fanatical because, you know, kids don't need to be in church all the time. They need other things. You know, folks need to wake up to reality. We need to wake up to reality. If you bring your child to church on Sunday morning, to Sunday school and to church and Sunday night and Wednesday night, it's probably going to be the sum total, maybe 5.5 to 6 hours of their week. That's all. And people think, oh, I'm just going too far. We're just too fanatical. And our kids need other things. We don't think anything about it, taking them to sports practice 2 or 3 nights a week. We don't think anything about all the investments that we make in them having success in some other areas of their life. But if we give a few hours to teaching them and training them in the house of God, then we're fanatical. We've gone too far. That's the big, big lie of the devil, that he's trying to convince this generation that we need less and less and less and less and less time in the house of the Lord. That's not biblical. And we cannot succeed in training them and unless we expose them to the right things. Amen. I read this morning. This is a brand new statistic. I mean, I'm talking like a few weeks. That the average American spends 7 years and 8 months of their life watching television. And a close second to that is 5 years and 4 months of their life on social media. Sum total there is 13 years of their life spent on TV and social media. And yet we're saying, oh, we've gone too far. We're just so fanatical. We have to bring them on Wednesday night and Sunday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night. We're extreme in our wanting to expose them. And then we want to send them to camp and bring them to Kids Crusade and bring them to revivals. And we're going to have to be really intentional about this. We're going to have to show this generation that there's nothing more important to us than God and the things of God. Learning in the presence of God and being exposed to spiritual things. No, nothing more important. It's the only thing that's going to endure if we instill in their hearts an enduring confidence and an enduring faith in God. It can last, and it can, but we are going to have to be intentional about our exposure to them and understand that everything that we're doing is influencing their life. We have in the back bedroom of the house, which used to be years ago, it was Zach's bedroom, and I've told you about this before, but there's a picture on the wall. It's still hanging there, and it's a picture of a dad praying over his little boy in a bed. And so we put that picture up over Zach's bed, and I would go in at night. If I didn't go in, he would holler from the bedroom and say, Dad, you forgot to pray. You forgot to pray. So then I know he was probably trying to extend the bedtime a little bit. But I would go back there and kneel down beside him, and I'd put my hand on his head or his belly or whatever, and I'd pray a prayer for him, and then he would look up at me. Almost every night, he would look up at me, and he would say, he'd point up there at that picture, and he'd say, that's you, isn't it, Dad? I said, well, I guess so. And that's me, isn't it, Dad? I said, yeah. In the picture, it shows in the background the dark clouds that looked so ominous and so dangerous, and the dad is kneeling over his child, praying for him. And that was what we did night after night after night. And I just have to believe that there's something eternal about that. There's something that will endure about that. That God hasn't forgotten those prayers. And he hasn't forgotten your prayers for your family and for your children. We have to be intentional about this and expose them to spiritual things. Now, if you say, well, I'm just a big failure because my kids are grown and I didn't do what I should have done, start right now. You say, yeah, but they're 25 or they're 30 or they're 35. Start right now. Start right now doing what you need to do to expose them to the things of God. Expose them to spiritual things and understand that all of these spiritual truths, all of these principles of God's word that you instill into their hearts, it will last for eternity. They will never be able to depart from it. They can't get away from it. It's going to have an ongoing impact upon their lives. So we expose them to the right things. Amen. We expose them to the right people. Proverbs 13 and 20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You expose people to foolish people, and you're going to produce foolish children and young people. You expose them to the wise, and then that's whatever you expose them to, that's what they're going to love. If your kids are all wrapped up and all they care about is sports, it's because you're probably exposing them to that all the time. If all they care about are TV and social media and other things of this world, if that's all they care about, it's probably because that's what you're exposing them to. Amen. And whatever we expose to them is going to determine what they become. Amen. They're going to love what they're exposed to. Whatever it might be, music or media or sports or whatever that it might be, that's what they're going to love. And so why not expose them to some things that have eternal value? Expose them to things. Let's get on board. You see, God wants to send a mighty, mighty move of God among us here at this church. It's the will of God that there be this sweeping, wonderful revival that impacts every one of our lives, our children's lives, and other people in the community. That's the will of God. That's what God wants to do, and he will do if we position ourselves to experience it. We need to expose them to spiritual things. Amen. Expose them to spiritual things. I could really go way out here this morning. This thing has got me so stirred up because there's such a mixing. Christian people so mixed up with the world. So in love with the world. And God forgive us that we've allowed ourselves to be so taken in by all of the things of this world. And it's got us to such a place now that we think like the world, we act like the world, and we excuse ourselves because I'm just too tired to come on Sunday night. And I could never get there on Wednesday night. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. And you barely get here on Sunday morning. Am I on a rampage this morning? Well, I'm pretty stirred up. I'm pretty stirred up because I know we have a generation of a lot of precious kids around here. We've got some young people that are precious and some young families that are precious. And I don't want to see them sucked up into the things of this world. I don't want to see them lose their soul. I don't want to see them lose out with God. So we're going to have to be intentional. Let me just mention a few things here. I know I'm out of time. A couple of additional things here. How can we expose? We need to expose them to the fact that serving the Lord is really a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. It's more than just do's and don'ts. Sometimes kids come to the conclusion that being a Christian just means this is what I do and this is what I don't do. And sometimes they don't even know for sure why they're doing what they do. The reality is they need more than that. They need to know Jesus. They need to have a relationship with Jesus. Christianity is not. Yes, there are things that are prohibited. There are things we shouldn't do and we should do, obviously. But that has to pour out of a relationship with Jesus. that has to pour out of our times with God and with His Word. It's not just a set of rules that we follow. It has to be a relationship with the Lord. Our kids have to know the Lord. So don't discount it when your child or your young person, when they're in the altar and they come and they pray, understand eternal things may be happening there. God may be speaking to their heart, changing their lives. And then your home can be a place where God is honored because you have a relationship with Jesus. Amen. God is honored. They see you, mom and dad. They see you go through trials, but you just keep trusting God. You remain faithful to God. They see you living your life for God. They see you living it out every day of your life, and it makes a big impact upon them. Have a real relationship with Jesus and pass that on to your kids. And then number two, we need to make sure, we need to commit ourselves, us older folks, commit ourselves that this place, this church, this location would be a place where the presence and the power of God operates. Where God is moving here in this place. Because there's nothing, you've witnessed it many times, I know that children are usually very sensitive to the move of God. And I've seen older folks just sitting there like they weren't being moved at all with little kids touched and moved in services because they're very sensitive to the presence of God. We got to make sure that what's going on right here is more than a formality. It's more than just a routine, but there has to be something. God's presence, God's power at work in this place, changing their lives. Changing their lives. Amen. I'll go even a little further than the 6 hours a week. Your family and your church and with your kids, your life needs to revolve around the church. I know I'm really out there, fanatical. But it does. It needs to revolve around the church and about what God can do in the church. It sends a real message to the younger generation when we just are carefree about it. When it's not a big deal. Yeah, all the years of my life, and I'm so thankful for this, there was never the question asked at my house, I wonder if we should go to church tonight. I never heard that question growing up. That question was never asked in our home with our kids. And it wasn't just because we were, you know, in the ministry, just because that's who we were. Our life was all built around what was going on in the church, and it sends a real message where they understand, hey, church is non-optional. It's just the thing we do. We go. If they got something going on down there, we go. We're there. We're a part of it. We invest our lives in it. You say, well, you know, you can just go too far with this. No, the culture is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's pummeling us. It's coming at us with such fierceness. The culture is so powerful and such a force. The only way we can counter what's going on in our world today is to be sold out 100%, totally to God, to the things of God, to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I really believe this. To my core, I believe this. I grew up with this. I can remember friends would come over, company would come over to our house on Sunday evening to visit, non-church-going people that had been my mom and dad's friends when they were younger. And they would drop by, 5 o'clock on Sunday evening. And, we're glad to see them, and we'd visit with them. But then just about 30 minutes before church time, my mom would say, time for us to get ready for church. It didn't matter who was there. I mean, if John Kennedy would have been sitting there, I don't think my mom would have missed church. She just said, time for church. And she would just apologize to the company and say, sorry, we're going to have to leave you, but this is our church night. You know what that did to me? That instilled something in me. I probably wanted to stay and play with my friends, but it did something to me. It made an impact upon me. It created a priority in my life that I wanted to build my life around the things of God and around the church. Praise God. There are eternal things that we can expose our families to. We can expose each other to if we will. And nothing is, there's no greater joy than when you see your own children or other children of the church, young people, when you see God working in their life, when you see God beginning to, you see them begin to just kind of flourish and blossom, and you see God's working in their life, and God is moving in them, and they're just growing because we have created an environment in our homes and in our church where they can grow to serve God. And this will last. Amen. As I said, a lot of other things, most everything in this world, and sad to say, most of the things that we invest our time and our life in are temporary and are passing away and have no spiritual significance at all. Yeah, we're all wrapped up. We're all invested in all of these things instead of God, instead of God's word, instead of worship, instead of the house of God. Amen. I'm just going to have to quit. Father, I just pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will speak to the hearts of your people here today, just as you have been talking to me, dealing with me about these matters. Lord, help us, Lord, to be intentional about this. Lord, to be determined to see revival and the atmosphere of revival here at this location. So it will be a spiritual environment where this coming generation can thrive and grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Oh God, I know that we're living in a world that is so opposed to everything that is righteous and true and good. But Lord, I know that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I know there is a force and a power, a dynamic, the grace of God, the power of God that is enough and more to face the challenges of this present day culture. But Lord, we cannot face it. We cannot counter it except, Lord, that we give ourselves completely to you. Glory to God.